with me to Genesis chapter 32. Wow, God's given me something this morning, and I'm going to process through it. The message this morning is about relationships. It's about not only ourselves personally, but the personal struggles that we go through as individuals. So I know this doesn't apply to anybody here. Amen. But you might be able to take it and preach it to somebody else. How's that? Amen? It's not only the struggles that we have with each other, but how many knows one of the biggest struggles that we deal with is our struggles with God? Amen? See, if we can get past the struggle of knowing how God really feels about us, that would resolve most of our relationship problems. Most of our relationship problems are based because we don't know how God really sees us. Amen? You know, me and Karen have really been experiencing something new this year in relationship. And we determined that we were going to stop negativity and offense at the door of our lives immediately. And because you would think, you know, as long as we've been married that it doesn't happen, but sometimes if you're not careful, you will take each other for granted, and then you feel like you can say or do whatever you want. Amen. I know that doesn't apply to you guys, so me and Mama Karen are talking about us today, so you don't have to take it personally. But I can tell you this, is that when you struggle, you know, when you struggle with your identity, with your personal identity, and you struggle with your identity with God, then I can tell you is that you inevitably are going to take things wrong. Amen? Because when you are dealing with insecurity and you're dealing with your nature, the nature that is opposite of God, and you've heard me teach it and preach it, it's something I have bared down on constantly, that we've leaned in on always, is that the thing that we have to learn to deal with is we have to learn to deal with our personal relationship with God, knowing who we are in Him, because the enemy constantly wants to keep us in offense. And it's not so much offense towards each other, but offense within our own houses, our offense towards the church, our offense towards God. And we're dealing with that nature that is within us, that nature that struggles. Because when we get saved, our spirit has been reborn. Our spirit has been made new. It's become a brand new man. Amen? But the issue is that it is my soul area. It's my soul area that I have. The Lord spoke this word, a prophetic word to me the other day, and said, my people have soul ties to their past. They have soul ties that have not been broken from former pastors, from former churches, former lovers, former husbands and wives. And because of those soul ties hold you to the past and affect your attitude and your presence, your present relationships right now. Because what happens, those things influence you. Because if you have not broken those soul ties, if you have not broken those soul ties from the past, if you have not forgiven, if you have not dealt with those soul ties, they will affect your present relationships. And I'm going to show you through the Word of God how that happens. It happens, and it happens more than not it happens. And we wonder why we can't get past, fill in the blank, can't get past those feelings. Amen? Why is our relationships more adversarial than they are at peace with one another? Why do we have such a struggle in relationships? Why do we have such a difficult time getting along with coworkers? Why is it that I can't find myself in a state of peace the majority of the time? Why do I fight depression so much? Why do I struggle with my identity so much? Because I want to say to you today is this, is that it may be that your life is still tied to the past. Your soul is tied to the past. Your spirit, see, what we don't realize is that our spirit, man, it doesn't mean that God gives up on us. And I want to show you that this morning. God doesn't give up on us. God is going to bring you, turn to somebody right now and tell them, God is going to bring you full circle. And I wrote this thought down. Sometimes when we seem like we are the farthest away from the will and the purpose of God, we don't realize that we really are at probably the biggest breakthrough of our life. Because what happens is you need to realize is that God has brought you full circle. He has brought you from that place, because when we are struggling with our will, submitting to the will of God, submitting our will to the God, to God, and I know that I know for me, you would think that it would be easy for us to submit to such a loving and a good God. But His Spirit is loving. God is good. He is merciful and long-suffering. But your soul is stubborn. Oh, somebody better help me preach this morning. I said, your soul, our soul, is willful. Our soul is unrenewed. And when your thoughts and your soul life is unrenewed, then what happens is then you struggle because how many knows? You don't communicate with each other by your spirit. You communicate by your soul. You communicate with God by your spirit. How many hears what I'm saying to you? You communicate with God by your spirit, but we communicate through our emotions, our will, and our intellect. Think about it this morning. If you are tied to the past, your past is trying to dictate. But I want you to know something today is this, is that from the very beginning, when God came into your life, He has never let you go. He has never let you go. You may seem at times like you are far away from God and that God is not near to you. But I'm here to declare to you is that you may seem and it may seem like you are far and that God has separated Himself from you. But God is as near as you are now. God has led you. Look, God has led you to this place. I say, God has led you. You belong to Him. You are His purchased price. You are the apple of His eye. Honey, you may feel like an old rotten core, but I want you to know in God's eye, you are the apple of His eye. You are the delight of His heart. I want you to know, even though your children sometimes may be disobedient and they may get on your last nerve, but how many knows that you can turn your eyes upon that baby and you can look at them and your heart is filled with joy and with love? Well, then think about the Father when He looks upon you. See, you're trying to judge through your unrenewed soul. See, we so often judge by our faults and our failures. I judge myself when I look in the mirror. And I look, and if I'm not careful, I'm not looking through the eyes of God. I'm looking through the eyes of my mistakes, my mishaps. Oh, somebody needs to help me this morning. Yes. Look with me here in Genesis chapter 32. Am I talking to anybody here today? If you got your pencil, you got your pens, you're going to mark some areas here. We're coming back to them. Are you there? Talk among yourselves. I'll be right back. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Come on. You need to underline that. Look at it. And Jacob was left alone. Just underline. Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him. A man wrestled with him. That should be, the man there should be capitalized. Amen. Wrestled a man with him, because in the translation, it is capitalized. With him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Just circle, underline, touch the hollow of his thigh. Verse 26, and he said, let me go. Come on. Amen. Said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, and this is Jacob saying, no, I will not let you go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. The translation there reads that when God spoke to Jacob here, that he was struck at this moment for the first time. Amen. And here was where the soul tie was broken. When God touched the hollow of his thigh, the soul tie that had been there from even when Jacob was in his mother's womb was broken that night. And Jacob was changed. How do we know that, Pastor? Well, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. No more shall your name be called supplanter. No more shall you be the manipulator. Oh, I know that none of us are manipulators. I know that none of us are control freaks. None of us try to work the side. We try to work the edges. We try to work the angles. We try to work it to where we can get it to be on our terms, our way. Amen. We smile when we don't feel like smiling. We compliment when we don't feel like complimenting. We move the pieces on the chessboard to suit our needs and our wants. Amen. Come on. We're talking about your second cousin. We're not talking about you today. Don't get offended already. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. He that contends with God. Come on. I want to be known as he that contends with God. I don't want to be known as the supplanter, but I want you to know is this, is that Jacob was created, but it was Israel that was formed, Isaiah tells us. Amen. Amen. Come on. We were all born into iniquity. We were all born into sin. We were all born into that sin nature. And I want you to know that no matter what church that you attend, whatever the name is on the door, whatever you have decreed as you are a Christian, we're not talking about you being unsaved. We're talking about learning to allow God's perfect and complete will to have control of our lives. Oh, somebody better help me this morning. I feel a preach coming on today. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Oh, I want you to know something is this, is that Jacob had power, but it wasn't by God's power that he had power with men. It was by his own power. But God said, now you're going to understand my power. You're going to understand my nature within you. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. You cannot meet God face to face and not walk different. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, God's teaching me. God's working in me to have a different walk. Amen. Amen. Look here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. I love that word. Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Come on, say it today. God is not finished. God's got a brand new performance in me. Amen. How many hears what I'm saying to you? It's been us on stage. It's been us many times who has been seen. Many of the offenses, many of the struggles that we've had in our lives with others is because that we have been seen. We have been the dominant one instead of the Lord. Amen. But how many knows that God is changing that in us? That God is changing that nature within us. But I want you to look at this today because it is amazing as you look at the scripture here in Genesis chapter 32. That Jacob had come full circle from the beginning. Even from birth. And in fact, the truth is that the Bible records in the book of Genesis here how that Jacob and Esau warred in their mother's womb. Honey, before they ever came out, they were tussling and they were fighting and they were struggling and competing even on the inside of their mother's womb. And there's no place that's else recorded as it is here that when she gave birth to these children, that literally Esau was the firstborn. And here he come out. Ready, red hair, hairy all over. And he came out. But even as he was coming out, his brother Jacob reached up and grabbed a hold of his heel to try to pull him back so that he wasn't first, but that he was first. That struggle was born within them. How many knows that we are born into this world and we are born into sin? We are born into iniquity. And even in the birthing process, when those babies were born, even at that point, the mother and father began to choose their favorites. And they created something within these children. They created a nature of competition. They created something within them that was not godly, that was not righteous. Are you hearing me? The parents had the power, the ability to birth something gracious and kind within them. But within them, there was something that was already innate within Jacob. Are you hearing me? See, here is the deal. The deal is that within us is born every wrong thought and every wrong idea. That's why that you can do all that is right. But until the heart is changed, even within a child, until the heart is changed within us, then I want you to know it will produce its own way in its own will. Oh, yes, we will. Left to ourselves, left without knowledge. The enemy loves it. The more ignorant we are as a church, the more ignorant we are as a people, the less we really know about the Word of God. He loves it when we allow ourselves to take a dogmatic stand on Scripture and say, there is no more room for God to speak to me or speak to us. How many knows that God is unveiling His revelation Word to us on a constant basis? Why? Because we are evolving as a believer. Amen? How many knows there was so many things I was absolutely confident about? Oh man, I was so sure. I look back at some of my old messages and my old notes and I think, I really preached that? Man, I remember preaching things when I was young and just, you know, just so sure and full of myself and just absolutely was sure. Oh my golly, I studied the Bible and I knew what I believed and I was going to preach it and I was going to break every rebellious Christian and deal with every one of their natures, and none of them loved God like I did. None of them served God like me. Why? Because I was a preacher. And little did I know that the reason why I was a preacher was because I was really worse than them. You all have your little love affairs and idol worship with some preachers, and you just look at them and you just say, they're just perfect. They're so perfect. And it's not them that's perfect, it's the anointing that moves in their life. You see, most men, and the greater the anointing, the more fallible their flesh is. God never intended for us to make stars of preachers or women ministry. God made us to where that there is only one God, and you will worship Him and Him alone. But what we realize is this, is that God causes men, and because of the weaknesses in their life, He causes them to be more submissive. The greater the call, the greater the anointing, the more the struggle inwardly that is there. But that doesn't mean that that man cannot break it, and he cannot come to a place to where he can be powerfully used by God. But until a man breaks the soul ties in his life, he himself will not have peace with God. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. The problem is that some of us get confused. We think the gift is the man. I said we think the gift is the man. But it's God using the man to use the gift to bless His body. Oh, somebody needs to help me today. Well, Pastor, you're not doing a lot to lift yourself up. That's the whole point. We don't want to lift ourselves up. Matthew brought an excellent word the other day. We are going to decrease. It doesn't. Our decreasing doesn't bring His increase. The problem, the point of it is the more we allow Him to increase in our life, the more we decrease in our life. But we're dealing with this. So here is Jacob. Jacob. Even from, I mean, my Lord, from his mother's womb, even before. So his mother womb, they fought. Even from birth, he was a taker, grabbing his brother Esau's heel, always from that very beginning, manipulating and plotting, even with his own mother, to take away his brother's inheritance. Living in an adversarial and looking at his relationship. I mean, look at Jacob's relationship. He never had any kind of peaceful relationship. All of his relationships were adversarial. Even when he finally ran from his brother, who his brother was going to kill him, and he ran to the country of his mother's people, and he met Laban, and there he met, and there he found the woman of his dreams. Are you hearing me? You know, isn't it fascinating that God will always bring you something to keep you someplace? I say God will allow certain things in your life. You see, we are people who think we are so in control. But see, the moment you ask Jesus into your heart, the moment you ask Him into your life, I want you to know that at that point in that juncture, God took you serious. You became His bride. And God has not let you go. God has pursued you. I know that you think, well, Pastor, I am a free will agent. I make it up. Oh, yes, God lets you make up your own mind. But just like a brilliant parent, God knows what to bring into your life. He knows what will catch your eye. He knows what will catch your heart. Why? Because He has a perfect plan. See, we try to think in our finite mind, but God is infinite in His thinking. God is sovereign. God is omnipresent, and God is omniscient. And so when God is planning out your life, He's not planning out your life sitting there thinking, well, I wonder what will make Karen happy. How many knows raising children that without fail this week, if you are a parent or a grandparent that's involved in your children's lives, how many knows this week without fail you are going to make them mad? How many knows that more than not you will say no more than you'll say yes this week? Amen? Why is that? Well, because you're the parent and they're the children. And they are dealing, because within the heart of every child is built up a rebellious nature. Oh, I know some of your sweeties and some of your darlings, and I know they are cute and adorable. Grayson is adorable, and everywhere he goes, You know, he gets multiple compliments. Oh, he's such an adorable child. He's so sweet. Yeah? Until you tell him no. As long as you don't tell him no, you've got a great relationship. Just don't tell him no. Give me what I want, when I want it, and I want it now. He has no understanding, no concept of consequences. He has no concept of that. He has no concept because all he understands is what his senses are telling him. And his senses is telling him, I want to taste that. I want to feel that. It doesn't matter that the dog has taken and chewed on his toy and has drug it through his bed. It doesn't matter. They share their toys. He chews on it. I chew on it. We have no sense. The child has no sense of danger. They have no sense of consequences. It's all right that I walk. What is the deal? Grayson left to himself. If you put him on a roof and an open window was there, he would crawl out on the roof. Why? Because he has no sense that I can walk out on the roof and I can go over the side and I can... Life is over. Amen? That's why there's rules. Amen? I am the greatest pastor in Wilkes County. See, you think it's a trick question. You've been listening to me too long. I'm the greatest pastor in Wilkes County. Till I have to correct you. Till I have to preach a message. Amen. That you got to chew on. Amen. Until God deals with your soul. Till God deals. We are the greatest parent. We're always the greatest parent. As long as we're handing out ice cream. And we're handing out toys. And we are letting them stay up as long as they want. And it doesn't matter whether they get their homework done. It doesn't matter if they ever take a bath. No, you don't have to take a bath. I don't mind putting up with your stinky body. It's okay. Because mommy loves you. Daddy loves you. And my love covers a multitude of stink. Jacob's parents sucked at being parents. They did the worst thing that you could to twins. They chose their favorite. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? See, in a household like we live in, the older always thinks the younger gets the preference. Are you hearing me? It ain't fair. Why do they get... I can tell you why. Because you're older. You can take care of yourself. Because you should know better. And I've got to spend more time with them. I've got to deal with them more. I've got to deal with them. They're going to take more attention. But how many knows that there's a point? See, the thing of it is that what we don't realize as children, we don't realize what is involved in parenting. We don't realize, and this is the thing that I want to point out to you, as God has Jacob in the palm of his hand, that's what he said, I have him in the palm of my hand. And even though it looked like Jacob was running the opposite direction of the will of God, Jacob didn't realize that in fact, the truth of it was, he was running into the will of God. And sometimes in the midst of our dissatisfaction, and the midst of our emptiness and our loneliness, in the times where we think that there is nothing going on, and God is not conscious of my need, and God is not conscious of where I'm at, the truth is that you're not far from God, you're closer to Him than you even realize. But God will bring you full circle. God will bring you full circle. Living in adversarial relationship with his own father-in-law for decades constantly competing one with another, see who could get the upper hand. Amen. His father-in-law would win, and he would win. Jacob just got smarter than his own father-in-law. But they couldn't even stay because it was adversary. It was an adversarial relationship and a disagreement that Jacob finally left and took his wives with him. Amen? But God will finish the good work that he began in you, Jacob. Oh, Jacob, I know you think you're doing your own thing because you've always been a manipulator. It's in your nature, Jacob. Your nature is to manipulate. Your nature is always to always working the deal, always working the edges, always working the angles, because that's what you are trying to do. See, you're trying to get your way. See, we don't like to look at ourselves like that. We don't like to look at ourselves always working the angles. And some of us are more astute at it than others. Some of us are always there. I say all the time, and Stevie, I love him with a passionate love. He is my son. He is my son. He's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But Stevie is a salesman. Stevie could sell anything to anybody at any time, whether no matter how late it is. I have always said he needs to have his own, you know, one of those commercials on at midnight selling some kind of trinket that nobody's ever going to use. But you know, you have a dozen of them in your closet because at the time you thought it was the greatest thing. That is Stevie. Stevie is always working the deal. He's always selling. He's always moving because that is his nature. God has given him the ability to influence people. He has a powerful ability to be in the presence of anybody and to impart vision. That is a gifting that is on the inside of him. And then he has passed that nature on to his son, Zechariah. Zechariah is always working the deal. Always working the deal with his grandmother. Always working the deal on when he should take a bath, when he should go to bed, whether he should play his iPad. Always working the angles. Always working the deal. Why? Because it's birthed within his nature. But how many knows that as a parent, you can only do so much? The parents lost their job. But see, God did not give up on Jacob. God had him in the palm of his hand. And God said, go ahead and run to Laban. Run the direction you're running. But you're not running from me. You just don't realize you're running in to my perfect will. Because I'm going to deal with you. Whether you're here in the heavens or you're in the bottom of the sea, that God lives there. And God is with you. You can't run from God. He lives in you. The problem is we think that God takes a break from us. Like we do our own children. I need a break. I need a break from you. Amen? I love the little video of the mother on the first day of school when her kids are going back to school. There's about three or four of them getting on the bus and she's doing her happy dance. She's doing her happy dance. They're gone. And she's going to have a break away from her babies. Amen? Isn't it amazing, no matter how great your love is? Amen? No matter how great your love is, no matter how wonderful your love is, and remembering the day that they came, it was a glorious time when Jacob and Esau came into the world, a proud father and a proud mama. Don't you remember the day when your baby came into the... Oh, my sweet baby. Until they got colic. Until that sweet baby would not stop crying. Until the only word that you thought your child knew was mommy. Amen? Not because you didn't love, but because your nature is limited. And you said, I've got to have a break. I've got to get away. Not that you want them gone all the time, but that you need a break. Your nature cannot withstand that all the time, but you're not God. God doesn't take a break away from you.
In fact, I'm here to tell you that in some of the circumstances that you find yourself in and some of the worst circumstances that you're in, God is more resonant there and present there than in the most victorious times of your life. Why? Because God is working on you and working in you when you don't even realize it. Why? Because God never takes a break. God doesn't sleep. God never sleeps when you are laying your little cute heads down on the pillows at night. And even though Jacob was far away, God says, oh, I know, Jacob, you think you've manipulated this whole situation. And I know your nature. You think you've worked this all out. And now you're away from your angry brother. But you don't realize, Jacob, that there's going to come a time to where I'm going to bring you full circle. I'm going to bring you back to face the issues in your life. You're not leaving. You're coming. You think you're leaving. You think you're running from. But what you don't realize, you're running to. You think your life's a mess. You think, man, it'll never get better. And what you don't realize, you need to take into account, God is involved in your life. Amen. Amen. There in verse 24 of 32, Jacob had left Laban, taken his wives, and he was headed back home. I can see his mind working right now. I have to be honest with you. I don't know how many of you Russell is a planner. If you're not careful, you didn't know Russell. You'd think when he comes on a job that he's a little slow. Because he'll stand and he'll look and he'll measure two or three times and he'll look and won't talk and he'll look and he'll study and walk away and he'll look and he'll study. It's not because he doesn't know what to do. It's because he wants to do it right the first time. Are you hearing me? He wants to do it right the first time. So what he does, he's decided in his mind, I'm going to measure twice and cut once. Are you hearing me? See, here's the beauty of Jacob. Jacob is literally in a place to where he has left Laban, he is running from, and he is saying, I only have one place to go. I have no place else to go, so I'm going to go back home. In his mind, he is working out in his mind the plan is how is he going to deal with his brother. Amen? So he's working out this plan in his mind because he is going to manipulate the situation to work it out so that he can get his way with his brother. Are you listening to me? Come on, folks. Focus on me. So that he can get his way with his brother. And so what he does is he decides as he comes to Peniel that as he is getting ready to cross over the river, he says to them, I want to keep a portion of my inheritance here and a portion. I'm going to keep my wives back here, but I'm going to send 500 sheep and these camels ahead of me so that I can prepare the way for my brother Esau, so I can make him more palatable for me, so that I can make him, so I can make him more acceptable of me, because I'm sure that he's angry. See, what you don't know is that not only is God working on your end, God is working on the other end. See, he didn't even realize that God was already working on the behalf of his brother Esau. God had already been dealing with his heart. But the point of it is that God was going to deal with Jacob. And even in that place to where that he had come and he had exhausted himself, here is where he found himself there in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. I want you to know that in your journey back to God, God will bring you to that place that even though you may have all of your wealth and you may have all of your family and you may have all of your influence around you, God will bring you to that place because the hunger in you has run out of manipulation. It has run out of the ability to try to change the circumstance. And the Bible says, and he was alone. And the Bible says, and there came an angel, came the Lord, and began to wrestle with him until daybreak. He could not prevail against Jacob. Why? Well, because what I want you to see here is this, is that this is the picture of prayer. This is the point to where that everyone comes to where that your soul has run out of solutions, that it has run out of answers. And now you have said that, you see, we don't even realize that God is dealing with us in such a point to deal with our hearts, to bring us to that point of submission, to where that now we can listen to God. But God was saying to Jacob, no, Jacob, you need to make this something that has some value to you. This is prevailing prayer. This is a prayer of desperation. This is a prayer that I'm sick of being Jacob. I'm sick of being the manipulator. I have run out of answers. I don't know what's ahead of me. I am unsure of my future. And I know this, that I don't want to go back to my past. I have all of these responsibilities. I can see the hand of God in my life, but yet that's all my life has been, is working out my angles, working out my situation. And the Bible says this, as he struggled there with God, that there was left something with him, that there was something that happened in the middle of that prayer service that he had with God. In that time of desperation, there was something that transpired that all of us have to come to that place. And that is the tie that he had with the past. Because the past was behind him, and in front of him was Esau, and in the middle is where he was stuck. You see, he was the real man in the middle. I can't go back, and I'm terrified about what is in front of me. And that's where he fell to his knees. That's where he fell before God. That's where on the inside of him he said, I can't live this way any longer. I can't contend with this any longer. And so God said, okay, Jacob, let's settle this. Jacob would not let go. Have you ever been to that place? See, that's what it's going to take to break some of the soul ties. It's going to take that time alone with God. It's not going to take any more running from. It's going to have to be, you have to stand still. See, this is the moment. It's the moment to where that you can't run anymore. It's the moment where you have to stand still. You have to face. You have to face yourself. You have to face the real you. You have to face that person that has always worked the angles, that person who has always been the supplanter, the deceiver. We don't want to think of ourselves like that. We want to think of ourselves as a good person, and we are. Our spirit has been made new, but God wants to change your mind because your soul and your unrenewed soul is what's keeping you from what God has for you. See, Jacob couldn't go any farther. He could not inherit. He couldn't come to be Israel until he dealt with Jacob. I want to be Israel. I want to move on. And I want to be Israel. I want to be that man who contends with God. I want to be that man who walks in peace and power with God and with man. But until then, you're going to have to deal with Jacob. And Jacob wants his way. It's interesting here. The angel of the Lord. See, we look at the thigh here. We look at the angel touching his thigh and causing him to be crippled, and it confuses us because we say, well, how can this be God? And God injures Jacob. You're missing the point here. You're missing the point because it's in the same context as when Paul went to the Lord and he prayed three times for the thorn in his flesh. And he prayed and said, God, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. And God said, look, I'm not going to deliver you from it. I'm going to give you grace to deal with it, because you need to understand that my grace is sufficient. I'm all sufficient. I want to be the all sufficient one in your life. But I can't be the all sufficient one in your life as long as you believe and you can manufacture the sufficiency for your life. As long as you can get yourself out of all the problems, and as long as you can wiggle your way out, then you're never going to depend on me. But now's when you've got to face that thing. And when God touched the hollow place of his thigh, and he was left with that part where it was twisted. You see, why the thigh? Why didn't he take his arm and twist it? Well, because the thigh and the hip is where my balance and my strength is. He could have twisted his arm and could have crippled his arm, could have taken an eye from him, but see, he still would have had his strength about him. See, he touched his thigh. He touched the hollow of his thigh. He touched the place to where he knew from that point he was going to need somebody to help him. He was going to need God from this point on. A lot of theologians say, well, it was only a temporary thing. But see, I don't think it was temporary at all. I think the way he walked became a testimony to everyone else. There's Jacob, the man who contended with God, and God changed his life. See, folks, I want you to know something. Until this happens in our life, men will always look at us just as we were. But how many of us want no longer for God just to look at for who we were, but we want men and the world to look at us as people who have contended with God, and they know we have met with God. We have been in his presence. We have been, and God has touched our life, and he has changed us. You see, the thigh is where they, when someone was making covenant, that they would put their hand under their thigh. What more intimate thing can you do for another man to put his hand? Come on, grow up. And think about this. How more intimate for another man to do that to another man? Are you hearing me? But when they wanted to make covenant, he said, put your hand under my thigh, because that was the place that was close to the reproduction. That was close to their trust. There was nothing that was greater. You're teaching. You're touching the place of what? That's the position of strength. It's the place of trust. The place you really rely on to stand. You see, at that point, Jacob said, I'm no longer going to trust in Jacob. It's interesting here. I'm closing with this. The man asked him there in verse 27. Look at this. Come on, guys. It's the Lord. The Lord don't know his name? Did God have a lapse of memory here? God's like, and he wasn't like me. He's like, what's your name? No. He wasn't just asking Jacob his name. He said, do you realize who you are now? Do you realize who you are now? And he comes to a shocking realization. In fact, the response here, the translation reads, this is how Jacob answered God. See, here's a man who was always proud and bold and fearless. I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what I want. I'm going to have my way, and I'm going to do it when I want to. And here is how he answered God. My name's Jacob. My name is Jacob. I realize who I am. He no longer, for the first time, said it with pride. Like, I'm smarter than anybody else. I'm the smartest businessman on the block. I'm the sharpest. I'm the most wittiest. I am the guy that always makes the deal. This time he stood and he said, I'm Jacob. He whispered it. He whispered it. For the first time, he realized who he was. I'm Jacob, the supplanter. I'm Jacob, the schemer. I'm Jacob, the trickster and the swindler. Verse 28, the Lord looked at Jacob and said, no more, Jacob. This is not who you really are anymore. You're going to be called Israel from here. Do you even realize the impact of this whole story? That Jacob had come full circle, thinking that he was running from when he was only really running to the fulfillment of what God had for his life. Sometimes your life looks like it is the farthest removed from God's plan and purpose in your life. I remember when I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit on that little Pentecostal church there at Cole and Jefferson, man. I remember all the kids talking about what they were called to do. And I said, well, I believe God's calling me to be a missionary. In my mind, I thought I was going to travel to different countries. When I didn't even realize that God was calling me to be a missionary here in the United States. And that God would send me to different people and different tongues and different nationalities. And God would send me to these places on apostolic missions to restore and to bring healing back to those people. Let me tell you something. There was points in my life where I can tell you that I was as far removed from my calling as you could get. Amen. As far removed. But God knows how to bring you all the way back. Why? Because God is trying to change that nature. Amen. How many would say with me, Pastor, I so realize God is changing the way that I think. Not your heart, not who you are as a Christian. But God is trying to change the way you think about yourself, about others, and about Him. How many believes today that God is speaking to you? How many were spoken to today and realized, Pastor, I realize there's some soul ties in my life that God is trying to break, that He is trying to break some of the past from my life. See, we as parents don't even realize we've created soul ties in even some of our own children. Amen. And so we want to live in guilt and remorse. And I'm telling you, don't live in guilt and remorse. Know this, that if they belong to God, God is going to bring them back to the fulfillment of His plan. What did I read to you just a little bit ago? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, He said, know this, that the good work that I have began in you, it doesn't matter. Look, you as parents, you as people are going to make mistakes. You're going to stink as parents sometimes. I know that we did. We made some horrible mistakes. Made some horrible blunders. If you aren't a parent yet and you think you got it all worked out and you read all the books, let me clue you in on something. They haven't written a book for that. Because I can tell you why. Because every child is going to be a different experience. But what we need to realize today is that God has you in His hands. And know this. Rest in the fact that God has your children and God has you. And He is bringing you to His perfect plan. Amen. If you believe it, give the Lord a hand clap today.